What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X, and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
The Daily Show is taking a break this week, but don't worry. We have some specially selected episodes from the archives just for you. The Daily Show will be back with brand new episodes next week. In the meantime, enjoy today's episode.
My guest tonight is an actor who stars in the new Peacock series, Apples Never Fall. Please welcome Allison Brie. I am such a big fan of yours.
Oh, thank you.
True story. You have been I'll tell you more. I will elaborate. You've been on two of maybe the biggest television shows known to man, Community.
Oh. I mean, two of the biggest known to a small group of very avid fans.
Man, but the
we
fan
appreciate them. We appreciate them.
It's a fierce fan base.
Yes.
And also Mad Men.
That one, yes.
Personal favorite is Glow. I was such a Glow super fan.
The love of my life.
I know. I love
the
that show.
The love of my life. I loved working on Glow so much. I've never felt like more of a badass.
Hell yeah.
Than when I worked on it. We're doing our own stunts. I'm training. I'm flipping women. Let's be honest. I'm getting flipped by women more often. And that still felt cool. So
yeah. It was so inspiring. I love that show. And it was a real bummer to all the fans that it didn't come back. But I heard that it opened up an opportunity for you to explore more writing and producing.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think there was something just about working with so many women, and that was the first time. I mean, the show was created by Liz Flahive and Carly Mensch, and there were female directors, there were women behind the camera, there were women first ADs, just like in every department, female writers' rooms. I mean, like, it sounds like it shouldn't be a thing that you have to say, wow, there were so many women on a set, but there were, and even within the cast, you know, we were all learning how to wrestle, and each woman on the show was talented, you know, behind the scenes in their real lives. They were dancers, there were singers, there were real wrestlers. And that was really inspiring to me. And in the time that I was working on that show, I directed an episode, I wrote a few films that have been made, and like, it was very inspiring to me for sure. I'm blushing being so earnest. It's too earnest.
I feel so vulnerable.
I feel vulnerable telling you my real feelings.
You wear it well.
Thank you.
You wear it well. And now you're part of this incredible ensemble, Apples Never Fall.
Yeah.
I am obsessed with the show. I binge in about 3 days.
Yes.
Which tells you how good the mystery is.
It's a bingeable show. I feel like the episodes keep you wanting more. The book was great. It's based on a book by Leanne Moriarty. She wrote Big Little Lies, 9 Perfect Strangers, also been made into Buzzy shows.
Yes.
And yeah, it's, I think the reason people really connect to it too is that it's about a family, and a family that is not perfect, and every family has those idiosyncrasies, and you kind of watch this family fall apart and come back together, and sort of everybody has to like come to their own truth throughout the course of the show, and in that they get stronger. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it explores all of these interesting themes about, you know, it explores the invisible woman. It explores playing these roles in your family and then your family members seeing you in a different role.
Definitely the dynamics that we play in our family, and then sort of like all the things you sort of keep from your family members, and also they know some of your deepest secrets. Also, you can be honest with your family members. in a way you can't with anybody else, and the things you say to your family members cut deeper.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
real
than
good.
Anyone else. The show will definitely make you want to call your mom, I think. It's, I can confirm that.
That's 1,000% true. Yeah. That's exactly how I felt. And your character, Amy, is described by her sister as, I want to get this right, an emotional chaos sinkhole.
Yeah. So lovingly.
Isn't that? Those are the words of a sibling, right?
Yeah, definitely.
But you play her so beautifully, and she's
Thank
kind
you.
Of this, like, hot mess on the surface, but you play her, like, she's truly, like, one of the most emotionally evolved characters in the show.
She's definitely the best communicator in this family. She's the only person who knows the word feeling, I think, and she uses it often. But, yeah, I love that she wears her emotions on her sleeve. It was a fun part of the character to play. And I also think because she's a bit of a catastrophist, she sort of like gets all of her mess out early on. Other characters continue to be surprised, and she's like, I've been there. I'm evolving now.
Yeah.
You know, so that's kind of nice.
It.
Yeah.
And the ensemble is incredible. The cast, it's Annette Bening.
An all-time icon. This was like a bucket list thing for me working with Annette, truly. I get a little emotional talking about working with Annette Bening.
Did you see that she was attached to this thing? And were you just like, I don't need to read it. I don't need to know the character. I'll play
much.
Her kitchen table if she wants.
It was Annette Bening and Sam Neill. And I just was like, stop. Yes, they are the best icons. And cool cats. Like, just Sam Neill's rolling up like, let's go to the cabaret. And we did.
You know? I love that that's your definition of a cool cat.
Yeah, like, I mean,
cabaret time.
How often does someone say, I've bought us all tickets to the cabaret, and you're, like, excited to go?
Oh, that's amazing
to
know
great.
About him. It's, and you were right there with them. You have beautiful scenes with them. The show is so much fun. I also want to talk about, you have an upcoming project coming up. It's a horror film.
Yes.
With your husband, Dave Franco.
Yes.
Now, when I think about the purpose of going to work, it's to get away from my husband. You feel differently about this?
This is very much the opposite, yes. Especially this one. It's a horror film. I don't want to say too much about it. The film is called Together, and it's about the horrors of codependency. We play a couple that's been together over 10 years and is a bit codependent. And, you know, we spent 2 months on this shoot together 24 hours a day, every day, producing this movie, acting in it all day, every day. And I loved it.
Can we push in on a close-up to get
a single cheer.
Just
and I loved
in
it.
On the inside. Blink twice.
I did love it. I did love it. I love my husband. I want him to be able to watch this later.
Yes, we
it
all
was
love
really
our
fun. It was really fun. Yeah.
I'm very excited to see it. Congratulations on everything. I love this show so much. I cannot wait to see the movie. The entire season of Apples Never Fall is now available on Peacock. Allison Breeze.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing Watson X Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with Watson X Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Members of the Grammy Award-winning band Vampire Weekend. Their new album is called Only God Was Above Us. Please welcome Ezra Koenig, Chris Baio, and Chris Thompson. I mean, they certainly didn't do that when I came out. So you all met while you were at Columbia together, which I'm pointing to Uptown.
That's right.
What was there a backup plan if this didn't work out? Let's start with you, Baio.
I was gonna maybe teach math for 2 years.
Teach math.
Yeah,
okay.
I took the LSAT and stuff.
Yeah.
And,
he aced it, you should say.
Yeah. He aced it.
I did rather well at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I like being a musician better than being a lawyer.
What was your backup plan, Ezra?
Well, there was 1 year where I had a real job after graduation before the band took off, and I taught eighth grade in Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn.
No way. Oh, wow. What did you teach?
English.
Taught English?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you have a thing with words.
Definitely. Yeah, it's all connected.
What about you, C2?
I also had a real job for 1 year.
Okay.
Not too far from here, I used to work at Sony Music Studios as an entry-level tape archivist.
Tape archivist?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that doesn't even exist now, does it?
I don't think it does.
No, it doesn't. Your album is tremendous.
I love it.
The song, yeah.
Thank you.
I read somewhere that Vampire Weekend has a superb return to form. What, I mean, are we thinking about this in the studio and recording? Are we thinking about our form? What is Vampire Weekend's form? Does that annoy you even that someone else is talking about your form? It would annoy me a little bit.
No, that's what you hope they say every time.
Right.
We return to form.
Yeah.
We went home and we returned to the form.
Right, right.
It's hard to say because we've made 5 albums now and they're all pretty different from one another.
Yeah.
It's funny. I know it when I hear it. That's how I feel about what sounds like Vampire Weekend.
Recently, though, a lot of you, I believe, you're an iconic New York City band, but you now live in L.A.
Yes.
I mean, what the f***, right? No, I mean, what? We have earthquakes here now, too, you know?
I know, it's true.
Has that done anything for the band? Has it adjusted in you in any way? Let's start with you.
I guess it's been really nice all being in the same city for the last 5 years because we were spread out for a while. I lived in London for a period of time, and I feel like, you know, we hang all the time. We see each other every week when we're home. It's, like, really nice.
What's your response to L.A., helping the band or hurting the band?
I like L.A., and, you know, I know a lot of... like any place, it's spent... Like, our producer, Ariel, who produced this album, born and raised in L.A., and I just think anytime you're in a city and you spend time with people who know it, grew up there, love it, you come to love it, too.
Well, it's a well-trod path.
CT.
Yeah. New York musicians go to L.A.
Yeah.
There's always a chance for return. You never know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's just a lot of great people out there that we've been able to work with in the studio and live and stuff. It's felt like really vibrant for us, I think.
I can certainly say, as a comedian, going somewhere new always helps a little bit. Mm. You know, well, yeah, I got some new ideas. In L.A., you don't interact with anybody. I'm sitting on the bus now instead. But Only God Was Above Us. Explain the title of the album a little bit.
Well, we were lucky that we found the cover kind of early in the process. And it's this amazing photo taken by a guy named Steven Siegel, who took all these amazing pictures in 1988.
Not that Steven Siegel.
No, not that Steven Seagal.
Okay.
Not
Seagal.
Steven Seagal.
Oh, yeah, excuse me, that's Steven Seagal.
Who I think's birth would
you know
probably...
You know I said earlier that if I f*** up, we're going to edit something out?
Yeah.
That's what we'll edit out.
I have a feeling... I think Steven Seagal was probably born Steven Seagal.
Absolutely. And I think you're right. He changed his name. Thank you very much.
But so there's a photographer, Steven Seagal, and the images were all taken in this... what he described as a subway graveyard. So all the cars were overturned. So he took these really surreal pictures of these gritty 80s New York... subway cars. And it was such a good image, and I kept thinking, like, where's the Vampire Weekend going to go? And eventually I realized, why ruin this beautiful image? And the only text on screen is the newspaper, which is a daily news headline, Only God Was Above Us. So at first, I kind of thought, well, that works. But then as time went on, I started to feel like this is the perfect title, actually.
I also love when a band doesn't need to plaster its name all over the place. There's a confidence with that. And that's your it's your fifth album. You know, maybe maybe that played into it. I don't know. The song, Mary Boone, can you describe a little bit about who is Mary Boone? Where did this come from?
Well, Mary Boone's a very important figure in the downtown New York art world. Came to prominence in the 80s, you know, which is an amazing time for New York art. Well-known gallerist, and this song is kind of about the, you know, people coming from to the city trying to make it. And so, I don't know, I kind of picture the person singing the song as like addressing her, like an artist or something who wants to take it to the next level.
Do you remember when this band took it to the next level? Was there a moment when you said, holy shit, we actually have a little bit of money in the bank, or we can eat something now? I don't have to teach math for the rest of my life?
Well, no, not... Well, one moment where I felt like maybe early on we leveled up was we played our first gig in Brooklyn in 2006 at Pete's Candy Store about 30 people, but it was the first time...
They're all here, apparently.
No, but I mean, that we packed it out because that's all it fits, but we played Mansard Roof, A-Punk, and one of our other songs for the very first time.
Okay.
And it felt like, really, with us, it was the first time we maybe had enough music to make an album someday. So that was something that was very exciting that I remember.
Do you remember leveling up, Ezra?
I mean, yeah, there's been so many small levels up. I mean, look, like you said, the band started in New York. We all have deep New York connections and heritage. So even on our last album, 2019, when we finally played The Garden, I mean... Wow. Because that's true. From Pete's Candy Store to The Garden.
That's why. Yeah. CT, level up. Nobody ever talks to the drummer, you know? So this is a big moment.
I appreciate you having me out, quite frankly. I think the one that comes to mind is the first time we played Glastonbury, which is a big music festival in England.
Okay.
And, you know, we're like 24-year-old knuckleheads, and all of a sudden we're playing for 50,000 Britons, and it's just oh, my God. Goodness, well, how did I get here? One of those moments where it was really just, I barely remember the set, but I remember the feeling right before it.
That's so cool. I say that to myself every time I sit here. How did I get here, and how stupid is everybody else to put me here? you record a lot of this album in New York, London, LA, and Tokyo. I have so many questions. How, why, how did that transpire?
Well, LA and New York, we're always in LA and New York, but...
I just thought a band, like, goes to their studio, and then 3 weeks later, they drink whiskey, and they fight, and then 3 weeks later, they have this album. Is that not how it works? Am I mistaken in my assessment of the music industry?
If only. Some people are blessed, and it works out that way. Okay, we like to take our time, but I was living with my family over the last few years for a while in London and then Tokyo, but my wife was working in both those places. So it was good to be somewhere different, have some time apart, and then Ariel came out and we found studios. And so, we just ended up recording in those cities.
The real reason I brought you here today is I want to talk to you about your podcast.
Okay? Oh, thank you.
Okay,
all right.
Literally, the whole reason you're rock stars is so you don't have to do a podcast.
That's a good point.
Like, as a comedian, I'm like, I have to do my podcast. But it's like, you guys don't even have to do a podcast. But tell me how this started. What is it about? You asked me backstage how tall I was. But you said we talk about this a lot. What the hell does that mean?
Well, so...
You're like, you were sizing me up. You're going to kick the shit out of me or something?
No.
Curiosity.
Wearing a hockey jersey. I mean, no.
Well, yeah. If you haven't heard our new podcast, it's called Vampire Campfire.
And they invited their whole studio production crew here.
I think one of the origins of it is that in the fall, when the record was almost done, we went up to Oregon for the first ever Vampire Weekend corporate retreat.
Oh, wow.
Right.
And corporations have been having corporate retreats forever, but I don't think many bands have had corporate retreats.
Sure.
So it's very fun. But the last night, we were on the ocean and had a nice fire going and sort of discussing our plans and stuff like that. And I think it's just really fun to sit around a fire and talk about your future and talk about the things you want to achieve. So that was like one of the reasons why we did Vampire Campfire Vampire Campfire.
For anyone who hasn't listened to it, what are we going to find? What are we going to listen to here?
We did talk about height recently.
Comparative heights.
What does that mean?
I'm 6 feet tall, but I'm the shortest member of the band.
Yeah.
Because these two guys are 6'2". So people always ask which one of them is taller.
Okay.
It's actually him.
Oh.
Some people think it's... So we were talking about our... got us interested.
That was actually my next question.
And so we got kind of interested in our relative heights and also the height of the fictional character Jack Reacher.
Yeah.
Because the character is taller than the actor who plays him.
Correct.
And you're somewhere between the actor and the character.
And I'll let you talk in a second, but I was furious when Tom Cruise played Jack Reacher. I mean, it was like, I love that show. That show is male ego at its finest, isn't it? I just want to get a cup of coffee. I don't want anyone to bother me. Oh, shit, I have to kill everybody.
Right.
Very cool.
Yeah. What's the podcast do for you?
Well, you know, I think... A big part of being in a band is, can I say, bullshitting?
Oh, my God, yes, please.
And just kind of, like, chopping it up on the bus, in airports. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of sitting near each other while in motion.
Right.
kind of the biggest part of being in a band.
True.
And, yeah, I think we just were thinking about this record and how it feels and how it feels for us to be together. And it was just kind of felt like, oh, this is something we're kind of doing anyways. Like, this is something we could share, and it contextualizes in a cool way.
Who doesn't want to hang out with their favorite band? And that's what the podcast can be. So Vampire Weekend, Bayo, Ezra, CT, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Explore more shows from the Daily Show podcast universe by searching The Daily Show, wherever you get your podcasts. Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central, and stream full episodes anytime on Paramount Plus.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.